Well, I just want to thank Pastor for allowing me to do this today, giving up his pulpit for a pastor to not minister here in, I think it's 4 weeks. Man, I feel privileged. And he's sowing seeds, so praise God. Father God, we just want to thank you and praise you as we operate here today and operate, that's a different word, but we thank you, Father, for your anointing. We thank you. We're going to operate in the Spirit. We thank you for inspired preaching and teaching, and we just release our faith for the anointing today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, most of you guys were here 2 weeks ago when I ministered, but I didn't do a little bit of a review. First off, of course, we were talking about whether the Bible's true or not. No, that wasn't it, was it?
No.
It was about reaping their harvest. So here, there was a million-dollar question. The first million-dollar question was, is reaping automatic? And turn to Mark chapter 4. I just want to go over this again. You were hearing Pastor do some reaping here this morning when he was talking about money's following him. We know that, well, is reaping automatic in the natural? It's really not. I talked about July 4th, it was either 1967 or 68. I was supposed to be off for a holiday. My uncle calls me, Bruce calls me and says, Check, remember Checky? Yeah. He wants to combine his wheat. And I was talking to Jake this morning, and he said he worked for, 4,000 or 5,000 acres. So that's the scale I wanted to go on after I got out of school, but that never happened. But do they call you Jakey or no? Okay. You're not from this area. Praise God. But anyway, so Mark chapter 4, verse 26, so is the kingdom of God. Now, earlier in this chapter, he's talking about the parable of the sower, and he says, if you don't know this parable, how are you going to know all parables? And then he goes on and says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So we are responsible to sow, to cast seed into the ground. We can't just confess we're rich and not sow anything. You know, you have to have a seed in the ground. And should sleep and rise, verse 27, and night and day the seed should spring up and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. So there's two verses where God's taking care of things. I mean, he provides the light, he provides the rain, he provides the temperature in the soil, get things germinated. Now, in the spiritual sowing, if you are into a drought, you know, it talks about the washing of the water by the word. So that's confession of the word. You can rain on your crop by speaking the word over it. But then, is reaping automatic? In verse 29, it says, but when the fruit is ripe or brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle. Who is he? So God just brings it automatically? No, he, the person who sowed, has to put the sickle in. And we're going to talk about specific details on that a little bit later here. But it's not automatic. There's things we have to do. Like Pastor said, we can't be lazy Christians. There's no amount of confession of the word, or even there's no amount of giving of money that can take the place if you're just going to lay on the couch and not go work, not do your job. There's no amount of giving and confessing that can overcome that. You've got to be doing what God called you to do. Another million-dollar question then, do we have accounts in heaven? Do you have an account in heaven? And if so, can that change your life tangibly now? So I want to look at this a little bit. You know, remind you this, Philippians 4:17. Well, earlier in Philippians, Paul, the Apostle Paul by the Holy Ghost is talking to partners about, I think it's verse 15, No one communicated to me about giving and receiving. It's giving and receiving, harvesting, except you all. And then he says on down below, not that I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. So you have an account. I think we proved this by the word. And when you're giving, looking in the gospel, and you're giving to the poor or Philippians, I was in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 17, actually. It talks about, let me just turn over there a moment. I don't want to rush on this. Matthew, Mark, Philippians, right? No. So he's talking to a church here who was partnering with him, given to him. And, you know, it's verse 15. It says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me." Isn't that a shame? "As concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity." Then he said, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account." So we have accounts, and we can go to the bank on that, so to speak, almost literally. We have an account, and I'm going to get to the point where we get, you know, we're supposed to lay up and lay hold. We're coming to that. So, but also, when you're looking in the Gospels, in Mark and Luke, it says, you know, giving to the poor, giving for the gospel's sake, it's not gone. You know, it's converted into a heavenly account. It's a treasure in heaven. Now, you might turn to Matthew 6, next of all. There's numerous scriptures that Jesus talks about laying up. And he talks about not just laying up in the natural, where you can lose it. Matthew 6. These are all things we know. I want to lay this out so, you know, we have word on it. Just don't take my word for it. We've got the word. Matthew 6:19. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal." But he says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." It doesn't say lay up for the community. Lay up for the church commune so we can all put it in one pot. Who are you laying this up for? Yourself. There's incentive in this. Amen. My fourth grade math example, I'm not going to go into it, but, you know, when you have incentive, I mean, I can do something here, and you know, there's a reward involved with this. I mean, it's not going to be, yeah, we're givers, we're going to help everybody that God leads us to, but this is incentive. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust is corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So this is to me, it's great incentive. It thrills me when we talk about giving. So the best place to store something is out of this world. You know, I'm not saying, don't tell me wrong, I'm not saying don't have a savings account, don't have a checking account, these things, but when you're storing something, the treasure, store it out of this world. I don't mean on the cloud either. I'm talking about out of this world. So if you do it in faith and love and obedience, it takes on a spiritual substance that is eternal. Remember we talked about Abraham gave tithes of all and through Melchizedek. Melchizedek was of no lineage, like no, not the Aaronic, not Aaron's group, not the Levitical tribe. He was an eternal. This talks about him in the book of Hebrews. We're getting our giving into the eternal realm. And you say, "Oh yes, Brother Mike, it's out there, but I can never touch it." Well, we'll talk about that. You're going to be able to touch it. You are touching it. So we want our eternal, our sowing to be in the eternal realm. The sower sows the word. And I've talked about this a little bit before, but I want to go into this. Like a natural seed, wheat or corn has a seed coat. Any seed has a seed coat, like an endosperm. And when you plant that in the proper temperature and moisture and conditions and spring, fall, whenever you plant, that seed coat shortly breaks apart and the embryo comes up, you know, cotyledon, dicotyledon, the plant will start producing, lay down roots, and eventually shoot up. So I equate the money is like, you know, when you're sowing seed, when you give money, I don't want to be splitting hairs, but technically the money is like outside that seed coat, like the husk on that thing. You know, you're giving, like we give to Mexico, we give to Joe Purcell, we give wherever that money goes, say to Joe Purcell, he's going into Hanoi, he needs money to travel, he needs money for supplies, to eat, you know, for staff. So that money is used up rather quickly when we give into missions. But what's the eternal part? The word, the sower sows the word. It says in, 1 Peter 2:1-23, being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's the eternal aspect. And that's why it's good to speak over your giving. Like Pastor was doing, and we do this over our tithes and our offerings. That's the word is eternal. So, you know, that's what's going to go on. And that's going to be an eternal thing for you. So We don't want to, you know, once you get it on that side and treasures in heaven, you know, you're not going to have any loss. It's going to only gain value. You're not going to lose it. This is even better. They talk about fixed index annuities, and they call them, where your principal is safe, solid. In this world, is it? I mean, but you know, it's probably one of the safest things. You might not get as much gain on it, but you're not going to lose principal. Even when things are going down, they say you don't. I don't have these. We don't have these. But so, but this is even better than that. This is can never be taken away in heaven. It's not going to rot. There's no thieves in heaven. You're not going to lose it. And now we do know that people. Almost all the church at large, even the people that never go to church, but they say our church says, you know, they'll say, yeah, well, you give, boy, you're going to have reward down the road, down in heaven. But, you know, I'm talking about coming up here. How do we get it here? We touched on it some last week. How do we get it so we can use it? 1 Peter 1:4, I have these in my notes. I'm not going to turn there, but you can reference it. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. It doesn't even fade. It's reserved in heaven for you. You can never lose it. Nobody can take it away. So then we went on. Everybody okay so far here? Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I don't want to go too fast here. So Jesus is talking about laying up treasure in heaven, laying it up. We're going to our granddaughter's basketball game later today. She's probably going to do some layups. Praise God. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. So do you think we have to do that once we get over to the other side?
Nope.
Now that's what we're doing here. So it also says, lay hold on eternal life. So fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You're laying up and you're laying hold of things. So you've got to follow this then on verse down to 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. I'm going to stop there a minute. When you read that, do you think, yeah, I got to watch that? You should be thinking how well off you are. I'm rich, so I got to watch this. You know, it sounds strange to some people, but if your mentality, if your spiritual aspect is that you're already rich, and when you hear that, you start thinking, yeah, I got to watch this. I don't want to be high-minded or trust in these uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And here again, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So I just read you 1 Timothy 6, 12, and then 17 through 19. So laying up and laying hold. I must be electric up here. So... Now that laying, when it says he laying up store, lay hold on eternal life, that word life is zoe. You know, what makes God God? It's like it's vitality. The same that's used in, I am come that they might have life, John 10:10, and have it more abundantly. That's the word zoe. It's just a vital word. So that, to me, we're not talking about eternity. I mean, if you don't lay hold on eternal life now, you're not getting to heaven. So you get eternal life now in this realm. You lay hold of it by being born again. Believe God raised Jesus from the dead. Confess him as Lord. And you know that, then you've laid hold on eternal life. So not my aspect of getting to this is you've laid up, Jesus said, now lay hold. That's not just when you get there. Lay hold. You can lay hold of eternal life in the realm of healing now. You can lay hold of eternal life in the realm of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can lay hold of eternal life regarding your prosperity. You know, you're getting your bills paid and much more than that. So when he's talking about laying hold, don't look at this as I can only lay hold of when I get there. You know, we need it here in the here and now. And if you take this apart, that's what it's talking about. So you laid up treasure in heaven. It says in Luke and Mark that you know you have these you can have how's it read here? Let me get this. Now in this time and in the world to come, it uses that specifically. Luke says a little bit different, but now in this time and the world to come. So we're laying up and we're laying hold. Are you with me? Can you say amen? All right. All right. Now, there was a part of something I wanted to do last time. I just want to go over it. When you talk about, well, think about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and then the wilderness, but then they're going in. And the Lord, kind of paraphrasing certain things, but in a lot of cases he said, I've given you the land, possess it, and dwell in it. So, but what's between him giving us the land and us dwelling in it? We got to possess it. Right. We got to take the land, basically. So, there's a lot. And okay, now we're getting into the new part of this message today. How do we do this? I'm going to give you some examples that time tested. I've seen works for us, works for people. But a lot of this has to do with joy. You know, pastor was talking about, you need to be in joy. You know, if you're in faith, you're in joy. It says in Deuteronomy 28, talking about the curse, but I take it as the blessing part of it is we're to serve the Lord our God in joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all. Amen. Things is in italics, but the abundance of all. Joy. It talks in, I'm going to read this part too, in Psalm 126. Familiar scripture. I just don't want to. Okay. Psalm 126, verse 6, the last verse in Psalm 126. So, he that goes forth when weeping, bearing precious seed, or it says in the side reference, a seed basket, the sower sows the word, he's bearing precious seed. Shall doubtless, there's no doubt about this, he'll doubtless come again with rejoicing. That's a key thing. It talks in Joel about the trees were wilted and bad because the people were sad. And, they needed to rejoice. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, the sheaves, they used to take these things and cut them, the sheaves and the grains on there. So, it may be so, I'm not quite sure why the reference is sowing tears, but you sow in tears and you could doubtless come again reaping in joy. So joy is a major part of this, and you could do a whole teaching on that, but that's not my path today. But in reaping things, actually tangibly getting what you lay up. I mean, we're the blessed. So we've laid up and now we're going to lay hold. We know the will of God, or at least this group does. There's a lot of people out there don't know you're supposed to prosper in the general church world. In fact, they criticize us. But we know the will of God. You could just take 3 John 2. Beloved, I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So, we know the will of God. But we need to know, for me, I look at things, we need to inquire of the Lord. For me, I say daily. Not that I always get it daily, but it says in the scriptures, as long as they sought the Lord, as long as they inquired of the Lord, they prospered. So we need to inquire of the Lord. We know His will. We need to know His way, especially in the realm of finances. I could tell you stories, but anyway, I don't know if I'll get to all them. Especially, you have to know how God wants to do this. Because, Well, I did tell you that one last time, I think, or not last, I don't know when it was, last summer, fall. I was teaching prior to that, and I talked about the guy, the talents, and the last one just hid the thing, and he was wicked. And to me, God would do with me about investing, not just letting things lay, business, So we bought this service at $4,000 a year to learn how to read market things, which I didn't have the time to do all that, and get certain tips on things. I'm not recommending you do this. So after the first year, we decided, I was led to do it. I thought I was led to do it. Later, I thought I wasn't, but now I realize I was. So then next year, another $4,000. So at the end of that second year, I don't think we're going to continue. So I said, Lord, I guess I missed this. But right at the end, we got this tip from, this guy is well-respected. If I call his name, you probably know it. I respect him because he is honest. And so we got this tip. Anybody ever heard of NVIDIA? So, okay, this looks good. We put put a bunch of money in. It's an AI stock. Put a bunch. I'm, you know, I realize I'm putting myself out there. I can be criticized, but I'm doing this as to family to teach, to try and give specific examples. So I, you guys won't persecute me, right?
No.
So we bought NVIDIA, and then it split. I think 8 ways. And one day I'm looking at this thing. I said, Darlene, wait, is this right? This thing, I mean, I think it's up. It might have been down last week a little bit. We're up at least 300%.
Praise God.
And I mean, awesome. So here, I'm following the Holy, following my spirit. And after 2 years, I'm thinking I missed it. But he's telling me, you didn't miss it. Now, I don't want to miss it and not sell it when I should. But, you know, because we did that before on some cocoa futures. That we were up and then we didn't sell and then they were gone. But this, you know, NVIDIA is very solid right now. But that's just an example. I'm not telling you, don't buy NVIDIA because I said that. We don't do a lot in the stock market. This service, I could have learned, you know, charts and all that available. I didn't have the time for that. So, but just that one thing really blessed us. So, you know, God answers you when you step out under that unction of the Holy Ghost, like the still small voice. And that's what I had, and we stepped out. And you do what he says to do in obedience, and he gives you direction. And you got to just know that all of this is tied to faith and being led by the Spirit. All of this. You know, you can't separate being led by the Spirit from all this stuff. So, you look at what Jesus did. You know, what I'm talking about is getting some direction. Now, we've also, at the time, we thought it was direction. We step out and we're like, no, we got to tweak this and correct it. But he's faithful. He does that.
That's right.
And I'm talking pretty specifically now on finances. But look at the direction that Jesus gave. Now, this is after the resurrection, but he's on the shore cooking with the coals. Disciples are out there, didn't know who he was, but they're fishing. And he yells out, children, do you have any meat or do you have any fish? He said, and they said, no. And he said, what did he tell them? Cast on the right side. I mean, and they had a multitude and come in, and then they realized who he was. John realized, and Peter, they goes running in. But there was specific direction there. And that's what we need in these days. And but like Pastor said, you've got to invest in yourself as far as word, first of all, and whatever your occupation or profession is, try to be the best at it. And I wasn't bragging last time about the designations I have, but there again, George, the one partner of the outfit in Chicago I contract with, it's phenomenal the way I met him in that class. And there was this other guy hanging around me from Maryland. He's like a gnat, get away from me. And because he's looking for review work. And I was just led to talk to this guy, and I said, do you think I could get involved here? He said, yeah, I think you could. Yeah, my partner talked to you down the road. But anyway, actually, that's in the bathroom. I talked to him about that. Then we're outside here in the classroom on a break, and this other guy, I better not name his name. You know what I mean. He's like listening because the guy's telling me what the fee is and what our fee split is. You know, he's trying to get in. I'm thinking, get away from me. I'm not, you know. Anyway, God took care of us in this. Supernaturally, there's a lot of supernatural things had to happen for that to work, but they did happen. So he'll give you an inkling. That's what I'm talking about, inquiring of the Lord daily. You don't want to get ahead of yourself, and yet you don't want to miss it. I've found when things are so hectic to just get along with God. This morning, I couldn't sleep after 3:15, and finally at 5 o'clock, got up and prayed in the Holy Ghost an hour or so, and you know, you get settled. And you get that, you may not get an answer just like that, but you're setting yourself up. And if he tells you something, you move in obedience, you're going to get some direction. Then you walk it out from there. So, I mean, I'm a practical guy. I want to know answers. I don't want to just spend hours in theory. You know, I went to college. You hear all this stuff. You want to get your hands on it. The other Friday night, we had our 2-year-old grandson. Darlene's showing him this toy in our big tub. He loves the water. And he pushes her hand away and says, I do it, I do it. You know, we want to do it. I want to do it. I don't really, never really watch sports. I wanted to play, and that's what I did. So the God's not giving us useless information. He's giving us things that each of us can use tangible things. Now, Genesis 8:22, we referenced this last week, and I want to mention that this is a scripture talking about cycles with God early on here. While you're turning there, I'll have a sip. I got my notes in my a lot of scriptures in my notes, so I can zip through. But I got to remember, you guys are turning, or just reference them. But Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. These are cycles. We need to know how we fit into this system of cycles. And Darlene mentioned to me last time in the New Living, right? It says springtime and harvest. And actually, I looked, and the Living also says that. I don't like that translation, because the Hebrew word actually means plant or sowing time. Maybe they figured you sow in spring, they say springtime. But you do a full cover crop, you can see seed any time in the spirit. So that's one translation I didn't like on that. So this is the principle in God's creation, seed time and harvest, cycles. Ecclesiastes 3, it says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. The Birds did a song in the 60s about that, the group, Roger McGuinn and the gang. So we see it in nature, you know, the springs are bubbling up. They go into the creeks, they go into the rivers, they go into the ocean. Evaporation, then condensation, then rain, and thing, you know, cycles of things. And, you know, Jesus said, I came from heaven, I came to earth and went back. There's a circle, a cycle of things. And but you think about the multiplication of a seed. And we get sometimes, we've been around this all our life, we don't want to get so lax on it. I mean, think about your seed. If I'm planting, or farmers planting corn, whatever they plant an acre, I don't know, bushels, so many bushels an acre they put in their seed or hopper, and if they expect, well, I'm just going to get that same amount back, you know, we're not going to make it very long. So the miracle of seed, there's increase so that you have enough you can eat, you can make it through the winter, and you got some more to plant. Like Pastor, he's planting more all the time. That's what we're doing. That's what we're all doing, trying to get more out there, you know, past the 5,000-acre mark, Jake. So it's a miracle of increase. And one of the greatest seeds he's ever given us, back up to Genesis 1, one of the greatest gifts he's ever given us, we read this part last week, Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them. This is the first thing he's saying to man. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The Amplified says, with his vast resources. So that these people saying we're going to run out. Well, we're not. But we're not, are we?
That's right.
And replenish the earth. Subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. So he gave us dominion. But he also said, God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed. The side reference says seeding seed. That's what you're supposed to do with a seed, seed it. So that is one of the most precious gifts man has ever gotten. When he gave you a seed, he gave you a future. You can take, I mean, look at, this is a seed of the Word of God. We got a future. You know, but you can, and I could have been fat, dumb, and happy and just take the easy courses and never have any designations, be trying to make it now and not making what I'm making now in my business. But I decided to go after the hearts of, you know, we could just lay back and not speak the word, and yeah, we can get here maybe Easter and Christmas and what is it? What is it? CEO Christmas, Easter, or something like that? I don't know. But no, we are pursuing. We got seed. We got the word. We've got incentive. But you know Christians, and I know Christians. They're just so laid back. They don't do anything, and they're not getting much. I don't want their harvest of the terror. Even as a Christian, you're going to face the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, maybe that's the wrong word, but I, fearful thing. So he gave us seed. We're not just supposed to stand here and not use seed. Then we got the word, natural seed. You know, he expects you to sow something in your life. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Oh, yeah, I was the other day, the one partner from the outfit in Chicago, and I thank God for him. I mean, whew, we get some major work. I'm doing one right now that's $85 million. And that's kind of a smaller one. It's just we're hooked up with certain multinational banks that just, we got, it's good stuff. And the one partner called me the day. Now, oh, they're never going to listen to this, I don't think. But George is probably approaching 90 now. And he is sharp, one of the owners. Sharp. I mean, every time I taught them, I learned something. Then the other one is more, he's a great guy, good personality, but he's kind of fluff, you know. I mean, he knows what he's doing, but he doesn't have the designations I have. I don't know how to put it. He's just kind of out there. He's in a group, and he's a little older than I am. But anyway, he called and says, "Hey," and I appreciate that. He said, "Man, I know we've been really slow," but I said, "Well, I got a couple jobs from you guys, and yeah, I know, but it's really been slow." And the bank said they're going to fix this. They need people to get this stuff to us, and just don't worry. The commerce is out there. You know, people are saying the economy, man, things are cranking. What I'm seeing. Yeah. The commerce is out there, so it's going to be all right. And I appreciate him calling, checking on me. Not long after that, a day or two later, I get a call from a client that I developed, more of a Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, or Indiana, Kansas contact. He says, "Hey," and I'm just, they have their own review staff within the bank. I'm just extra when they're busy. "Can you handle at least 5 next Tuesday?" I said, "Yeah." And then he says, "Well, probably the following week, too." So, I mean, faith has something to do. I'm not bragging on me, but, you know, you could be a unmotivated person. But when you have your faith out, you know, things are, it's like a magnet. Things draw to you. I mean, and that's how we talk. We always get the best assignments. So I'm trying to give you some practical examples. Proverbs 10:4. Yeah, I'm in 4:10. Wow. 10:4. Proverbs 10:4, "He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." And in verse 5, "He that gathers in summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame." So apparently you can sleep and harvest. Now in the New Century Version, let's see here. It says, "A lazy person will end up poor." I'm not saying every poor person is lazy, but I mean, if a shoe fits, I mean, there's always certain. But a lazy person is going to end up poor. A hard worker will become rich. So you have opportunity to become rich. You get up in the morning and say, "Man, I'm going out there after it, so I'm working on towards riches here." And put your faith out on that. In verse 5 of the New Century Version, it says, "Those who gather crops on time are wise, but those who sleep through the harvest are a disgrace." You know, I have my job to do, businesses. We have businesses, and we have to run this business. You can't let them run you, or they soon won't be there. So whatever your job is, and we all have jobs, whether you're retired, refired, you know, you've got to be on it. And you know, like I said earlier, there's no amount of giving money and confessing the word that's going to make up for laziness, slackness. There's just no amount that'll do it. You got to do what you're called to do, whether it's take the trash out for the church, whatever you're called to do, do it in obedience. So we have the responsibility to sow and harvest. So this verse is as true as Mark 11:22 and 23 and 24. This verse is just as true as that when you think about it. So, turn to Ecclesiastes 11. Can you spell Ecclesiastes? Thank God for spell check. Huh? I've got more of an appreciation for this book, but Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, I'll wait just a second here. Another sip. It says, "He that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regards the clouds shall not reap." So the New Century Version in this, are you with me there? Okay. It's 11:4. "He that observes the wind shall not sow," King James, "he that regards the clouds shall not reap." New Century Version there says, "Those who wait for perfect weather will never plant seeds." I mean, you know, most farmers I know, I mean, if it's halfway decent, they know they got to get that crop in, and they're moving. They can sit back and say, well, it's not quite the best today. It's not 74, and never plant your seed. Those who look at every cloud will never harvest crops. There's always an excuse. Somebody can always say, well, it's this economy, you know, that president and this and that. It's just immigrate. It's everything. I can't harvest. I can't. So you're looking at the clouds. You're looking at the circumstances. The BBE, Bible in Basic English, says, he who is watching the wind will not get the seed planted. Somebody that's watching the wind will not get planted. And he who is looking at the clouds will not get in the grain. So watching and looking, that's key here. You know, you have to take responsibility to get that seed in. You can't look at circumstances. And granted, naturally speaking, if there's a, like was it last year, so much rain in May, the guy in our, that rents our ground, I think in the second week of June or so, but it came out all right. You have to take responsibility and put forth the efforts to get the harvest in. You can't look at the clouds. You can't, looking at the clouds, observing the clouds. And you cannot, you have to focus on and allow yourself to not be distracted. Don't allow yourself to be distracted by all these things. You know, don't allow, like, news media. Oh, my gosh. Turn it off if it bothers you one iota. You can't be distracted by gas prices are coming down. But just the, anything in general that you just can't be, yeah, the wind. Yeah, well, we really had some wind, didn't we? Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of wind out there. So we don't, you can always make an excuse, but you don't want to get distracted by the wrong things. Faith is unmoved by what it sees. Brother Hagin always said, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe the Word of God is true. Amen. There's so many times you've got to get yourself by the nose and point yourself in the right direction, like a bit on a horse. I'm going to do what he told me to do. I'm going to be obedient. There's always unpleasant situations. There's always clouds, and you could be starting out. That's been how I know this. In just a minute, I'll tell you. Start out here in the beginning of the year. This is the way it is. God spoke to us. We're doing this, and this happened to us. There's clouds come along, and now that was And now it's May, and now it's June, and we're doing things, but it's just not clicking. Now it's July. Oh, well, it's 6 months. August, September, October, November. Now we're down to the... We needed something by December 31st. Had to happen of 25 last year. Now it's December 1st, December 2nd. Thank God something came together on December 4th, and with 8 days to spare on December 23rd, we reaped over $75,000.
Praise God.
I hate to bring out figures. I'm doing this among family because God said I need to give details. So I go home, then I'll think, why did I say that? But I'm not bragging on us. It's not, you could say, yeah, we had our faith on it, but whose faith is it? God said, have the faith of God. It's his faith. He gives every man the measure of faith, so we're giving him the glory. Amen. How does faith come? By the word, so who gave us the word? So who am I going to be bragging about me? No, I'm thank God the faith works that we can apply it, and I can have that credibility to be able to teach this. But man, Jesus came in together, and that money is in our pocket instead of not being in our pocket. So thank God for it. But they're clouds, end of the year clouds, and we use the principle that I'm going to talk to you about in just a minute. It's all word based. And it absolutely something, and we write things down, and I'll get into this. I don't want to just bait you here, but it's coming. It's coming quick. Actually, it may have been more like 83,000. So anyway, Galatians 6:9. You don't need to turn there, but I'll just get, that's the reference. It's in the bulletin. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we're going to reap, because it's all automatic, right? Oh, wait, no, it doesn't say that. That little word, if. What if they wouldn't have if in there? It says, you'll reap if you don't faint and lose heart, you know. You've got to not look at the clouds. You've got to, you know, take the time, sow, and then and not just wait for perfect conditions. Move ahead. There's so many times that people get dissuaded. Like, you know, here we are. We make up. We're doing this. We're going to set ourselves. This has to happen. So we're moving. Yeah, we take three steps. Now, we got things in writing. We were in agreement. But some people take three steps, and somebody says, you can't do that. Oh, yeah, okay, you're right. Sorry. You can't be dissuaded. You got to set yourself and move on ahead. If God told you to do something, then keep going. You know, things can change, say, from good to bad. Well, the good news is things can change. If they can go good to bad, they can go bad to good, and even better than they were. You know, we're not limited by natural means. We got the realm of the Spirit to operate in. So don't be dissuaded. Don't let somebody talk you out of it. This is where people that aren't really grounded in the Word, they heard me say this. They heard Pastor say this. And then, yeah, I'm going to try that. And then they don't have that hook of the Word, the foundation of faith and love to operate in. So they step out. God, and we all probably did this. We did it as kids. But you step out, and then the big devil comes up and says, you know, do that. Oh, okay. No. Now, I don't think we ever did that. But we kept pushing. We never, but you know, there's, we walked in the mist. Oh my! But thank God for our heritage of faith. Let's see, Psalm 84:11. Now I'm going to be talking about Brother Hagin here a minute, pretty much here, and this is a scripture that I'm going to hook into on this. I better get there myself. For the Lord God, everybody there? Okay. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. Now, highlight on this. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, we're not talking about works here. You better do it right, or you better perform, or you're not going to get. No, he made us. Well, he made us upright. He made us righteous. You need to walk in it. You know, you don't want to be an idiot and be a bank robber and think all this will work for you, but you could repent. But anyway, that's not my point. That God is not withholding anything from us. Who is? Quiz here. We got a devil, right? We got an enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you know, he's getting old. And, so this is getting into the nuts and bolts here. And I just got to, Darlene and I proved this out. We've seen it, including what we just talked about. We probably reaped over and above where we should have. We reaped probably just under $300,000 last year. The one was a property sale, but we'll get into that. But they told us you're going to get this amount. We didn't settle. You know, we're going for X amount of dollars. And they said, well, no, I can only get you this. But no, our faith got us that. That was another 200 and some thousand dollars. I just got to give God credit. I can't, there's no other way it came in.
So
it was a property we had, and I was going to get into it later, but she brought it up. And, I know. I just to highlight it. It was the end of 24. We've had this property a long time. Wanted to sell it. Just didn't connect. But then the other summer, the Lord talked to me about auction. So I knew that's a part of the direction. Anyway, I knew to wait till beginning of 25 and move on it. We hooked up with an auctioneer. Thank God he protected us from a bad auctioneer. We got the good one. End of January, signed a contract, headed out on vacation 3-4 days to pull apart, did what I'm going to tell you to do, wrote this thing up in detail, and had this. And see, I like to put it in writing. You don't have to, but I like to put it in writing because then when the cloud comes, what did we say? Did we really? Yeah, here it is. We signed it. We signed it high noon, February something, I don't know. But anyway, so then we had this to go by. And comes up to an open house, and I said to her, if nobody shows up, we're still standing. And we had people out. and all the tire kickers and all, you know, people looking because it's a historic property. Everybody wanted to see it anyway. But so then, fine, but you still don't know. But you stay on your faith. So then we come to the day of the sale, and it's, and in our agreement we talked about weather. We prayed over the weather, faith for the weather. And now they're predicting heavy rain at 5 o'clock when the sale time is, and wind. And so the auctioneer says, well, I'll bring a generator, and I'll bring some lights. And I think, oh, boy. So, and we prayed about it, and we said, even if, you know, everybody's talking rain, even if our faith can't overcome it and it rains, we're still going to get this. We're getting it. Well, the rain did hold off, and... Right. Yeah. So, you're telling me to. Anyway. Okay. So, the bottom line is, in March, when the auctioneer is out there with the realtor, they got to set a price for MLS. They're saying this is not what I thought. This is what. This is this. This is that. I said, do we cancel now? Because I'm in faith. And he said, well, I think I can get you 200. Maybe. Between 150 and he said 250, and he's saying I can get you 200 because the day of the sale he knows we got our, well, he didn't know our faith, but he knew we were looking for a lot more, and he stops in with his data, and he says, see here, I sold these, I said, yeah, I think I can get you 200,000. I said, well, we're not selling it for that. It's not absolute auction. We're not, but there's people out there. There's money want this. He's like. He later told me, if I knew what you guys were looking at, I'd have been discouraged. And I said to him, you discouraged us. We had to pull you along. So anyway, this opening bid, $100,000, waiting. It seemed like ages and ages were waiting. And then she's standing here on the side of it. All of a sudden, you get, it's over 200, and just like in a flash, I hear 300, and I'm banging her on the leg. It's like just out of... I'm thinking, this is working. Anyway, it goes on and on to 395. He said, I think I can get you 200. We're at 395. Then they break to see. Then they come to us as the owners. Are we going to go absolute and sell it? So we decided, and he's thinking, oh, yeah, they're going to. We go back in the corner in the dark area and just talk about it. Are we really going to sell it? Now, anybody could say, well, you didn't quite get there to that number. Well, let's see you do it. We're not talking about a realtor where we can just let it go and go. This is the today, now, we're here, and we're real close. They were amazed. We'd even think about it. So we just say, yeah, we're going to let it go. He comes out, tells the crowd, it's an absolute auction. We're selling the property. Ended up at 410. So to me, God just, we harvested over $200,000 because he's thinking, but we had our faith in it. And nobody can convince me otherwise that the two people that were bidding would have been there without our faith on the line, without the help of God. It just, when you set these things up, and not bragging on us, but the system of the Word of God will work. So Brother Hagin talked about, where is this? Oh. What I'm talking about here is a little mini book, How God Taught Me About Prosperity. He wrote it in 1985. You ought to get one of these. In fact, we have one for you. One per family, at least we got enough, is our gift to you guys. This, and I'm going to go over this in some detail, but you're not going to get it just on this. And Pastor talked about this already. But you go back over if you're interested. And this is, Jesus spoke to Brother Hagin about this. So it's not just some theory. It's been proved out over and over. So Brother Hagin talks about him. Where I learned this in detail was from Keith Moore. And I'm not promoting any particular ministry, but we've been partners there probably 25 years. We've seen this work time and time again, and he's talked about this a lot, and he's added some more word into it. So this is just phenomenal to me. But I talked about Brother Hagin pastoring for nearly 12 years and then going out on the road in 1949. I put a lot of this in my notes, so but it's in the book. He went into the field ministry. And then he said from February 1949 to January 1950, 12 months, he earned $1,200 less than when he was a pastor. And they had a parsonage he said was the best place they lived. They gave him, you know, clothes, sent him to conventions, and said they're always giving him food. So he's going in the hole here. He said his clothes are worn out, his car is worn out, and he had four bald tires, and he sold it for junk parts, and got enough money to pay the interest only on three loans, no principal, and buy, I think, an outfit for each of his kids for school. I mean, this is 1950. So that's a lot of money then. I remember my dad saying, my dad built the house I grew up in 1957, and the laborers were getting $1 an hour then. So, I mean, $1,200 is a lot of money. So he's holding this meeting in Texas, and he's going, he decides he's going to go before the Lord and pray over this. This is where this came out of. He wrote this in 1985, some 35 years later. And he's going to the Lord, he's going to fast, partial fast in the afternoons and praying. And he said he actually had his statistics together, laying out these things. And I think it was the third day, he said, "Now, Lord, see how much better I'd have been if I'd have stayed in my church. That's what I wanted to do anyway." You know, he might as well be real to God. So he's laying it out there. And Brother Hagin said, turn to Isaiah 1:19. Brother Hagin said that scripture came up in his heart. So Isaiah 1:19. Again, I'm not bragging on us, Keith Moore, Brother Hagin. I'm just saying Jesus set this system up. And you can say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I do, because I proved it out. It's real. In Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So he's Brother Hagin's going to him, and he reminded the Lord he earned $1,200 less than the pastorate. His clothes worn out. He's on foot. I didn't want to really leave my church, but I obeyed you. You know, like a kid, I'll do it, but I don't obeyed you, you know. And he prayed like this a few days. He didn't, it wasn't the way Brother Hagin did it. But you know, there's people that can be willing, obedient, but they're not really willing. So he said, my children are not adequately clothed or fed. I did what you told me to do, but I'm not even to go to the land. You know, he's going before the Lord, which is what we should do. He said, the Lord spoke to his spirit, a still small voice. And he said, first of all, that scripture you keep quoting to me says, if you be willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land. The reason you're not eating the good of the land is because you don't qualify. You're obedient, but you're not willing. So the Lord's going to tell us the truth. Well, thank God. And I got a wife that does that too. I mean, no holds barred. And I need it. Guys, hope you got one of them. Yeah, I can say it now, but you know, when she's telling me, then you know. But you know, when somebody, or when pastor corrects, when somebody do that, you can come out. Then you don't want to go along being an idiot all your life and then think you got it. I got this, you know. No. The Jesus and the wife will really keep you in line. The Holy Ghost. No, thank God for that. I'm not joking around about that. We need that. But he said the reason you're not eating the good of the land is because you don't qualify. You're obedient, but you're not willing. So even if this stuff makes us, even if correction makes us look bad at the moment, we can come out. Thank God. Yeah. So you can do something when you know that you're missing it, and you can come out of it, get reset in your heart. But you know, the Brother Hagin said, you know, don't tell me it takes long to get willing. He said, in about 10 seconds, he was changed. And then he said to the Lord this, he said, Lord, I'm willing. You know I'm willing. The Lord said, I know you are. Your problem is you don't practice what you preach. You preach faith, but you don't practice faith. And Brother Hagin, that's a low blow. Yeah. You know, I've been, you talk about faith, Brother Hagin. Yeah. So he said, you know, since I got my healing, I've been in faith. I'm not been sick. I mean, and he said, I'm going to quote it though. He said, you practice faith when it, Jesus to Brother Hagin, you practice faith when it comes to healing, and that's commendable, but you use your faith only for healing, salvation, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's as far as you've gone with your faith, but faith is the same in every realm, in every sphere. It's the same in the financial realm as it is any other realm. So, you know, here I'm interjecting here, you know my pet peeve about God in control, or like I call no fault religion. Whatever happens, not our fault. Not my fault. You know, it's like the mysterious will of God. So I mean, and people, I don't know where they get this, but they think, well, I'll go this direction. If it doesn't happen, though, then it's not God's will. We know someone like that. You know, a family member totally sick, and he says, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You know, it's so adamant that, then why pray? I mean, so there's no fault religion. Where am I at here? No matter what happens, not our fault. It's all up to the Lord. Well, it must not have been his will. Is it that way if somebody dies and goes to hell? It wasn't his will? No, the Bible says different. So that shoots that whole argument out of the water. Well, you can't really believe all this. Yeah, well, go away from me. I don't want to be around them unless you can teach them. But, you know, when they say it's all up to God, it's when they say it's not my fault, and, you know, we can see contrary to the word, religion is usually contrary to the word. I don't mean relationship with Jesus, but I hate religion because it's making you feel like you did something, and it's just a bondage thing. You have to have a relationship. We know this. So tradition will rob you. So there's a lot of code talk out there when they say these things like it's all up to him, you know. It's code talk, you know. So, and you know, we know pain and suffering is never the will of God. Poverty is never the will of God. You know, we had just had some word on this. You know, and we're not against people that are sick. We want to have to join in, and we're all against sickness. We're not putting anybody down that's sick. They just need to know more, to educate more. Somebody said, Gloria Copeland was saying something, how was that? Somebody said to her, I've done everything I know to do, and I'm still not healed. She said, you just don't know enough. You just don't know enough. You know, a lot of people are just ignorant, and you stay, like Pastor said, you stay true, and you stay on the word, and revelation will come. You know, what's more important than our eternal aspect with the Word of God, with which then we can help other people? That's what we're talking about, our prosperity. If we're prosperous, we can help people. I mean, not that you can't without money, but you take somebody that's righteous and rich, you can do something. But we have the responsibility to live by faith, and so many people are just waiting on God. Now, don't get me wrong. When I talk about inquiring of the Lord, I'm waiting on God. I want to hear his voice. So many people are waiting on God, like it's his move. You know, if you're playing checkers and it's your move, you can wait all you want. It's still your move. And God's move, now you've got to move. But that's where you know his will, you got to know his way, how he's doing it. It all comes back to that. So, Brother Hagin went on to say, the Lord said to him, for whom do you think I made the cattle of 1,000 hills? That's word. For whom do you think I made the world and the fullness thereof? Again, the word. For whom do you think I made the silver and the gold? That's Haggai. For the devil and his crowd? No, I didn't make it for the devil and his crowd. I made it for my kids. He's talking to Brother Hagin. And the money you need is not up here in heaven. I'm not going to rain dollar bills from heaven. What you need is in the earth. This is funny to me, but he said Jesus said the world can build a dance hall, a honky-tonk back there, they call it that, or a beer joint, or a theater. We could say a casino, put neon lights all over the front of it, dress it up all nice, but if you want to dress up a church, people say, oh, no, you know. I don't know if that's still the mentality, but, you know, you church people just keep in your place, you know. This is what the head of the church told him. He said, I expect my people to have the best place in town to meet in. So we should be moving in that direction. As the church thought like that, we don't want to, as a church in general, I think that church at large tries to save money for Jesus and he never gets it. You know, we're going to go the cheapest route where that's not always the cheapest route. So, you know, we need to move towards having the best place. And I'm not criticizing this place. This, I mean, when we had to move, this is here. With what, a week's time we got in here. And they need us. Yeah. Financially, they need us. Yeah. So the Lord said to him, I'm not withholding adequate, you know, from this scripture, Psalm 84:11. He said, I'm not withholding adequate food. He's not the one withholding. I'm not withholding adequate food and clothing from your little children. That's not me. It's the devil. He's the god of this world. You know, we know John 10:10. There is suffering, but that's not the kind of suffering. There's suffering, persecution for the word's sake, you know. I'm not hoping for any persecution on this message, but some of the biggest I've had was on this kind of teaching, which is biblical. But so, like, again, we're not, if somebody's not financially blessed, we're not saying they're not in faith. You know, they just maybe need more word, need some teaching. Here's the nuts and bolts. Brother Hagin said, what do I do? So now we're getting into this. Jesus said, don't pray anymore about money anymore. That is the way you've been praying. Claim whatever you need. I've added in there, claim whatever you need and want. I have word on that. So we're talking about harvesting and reaping. You don't have to look there, but claim whatever you need. Think about Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. Receive there is the word many times translated take, T-A-K-E. Take what you need. When you pray, and what was his desire? He desired money to go to the conventions, but mainly money for his family. He's on foot. So money to minister, money for clothes and food, adequate for the family. His desire. So that's where he started out, claiming this, say it, you know. Take him at his word. Millions of Christians are just begging God. To me, when I can believe this, this is not just Brother Hagin having too much pizza the night before, because it lines up with the word. Claim it. And that goes right along with Mark 11:24. Then he said, then you say, Satan, take your hands off my money. Take your hands off my finances. So we know Satan's the god of this world, so he can have influence. We have authority over him, but he can influence people, like he influenced people to kind of discourage us on this sale thing. He influenced, there's one, well, anyway. I don't want to get into too much on, get off sidetrack, but he can influence, but he cannot stop us. You know, he can, sometimes I say that guy's an emissary of the devil. You know, it comes up and he's just, you hear it off the side. This happened to me recently, two times, a certain thing I'm dealing with, and this guy comes up and say, well, yeah, blah, 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 that guy, and he didn't make it through this, and then another guy, same thing. It's like, you emissary, it might be a Christian, I don't know, but he's using the devil, speaking unbelief, and don't talk to me about it, because I'm standing in faith, and I'm strong enough to do that, but I don't need to hear it. That's a cloud out of here. I don't tell him that, but I'd like to tell him that. So, the devil can influence things, and, you know, he'll also lull people into deception, thinking they're waiting on him, waiting on God. So, withholding for reasons you don't understand. So, you know, you get, after a while, these people get fed up and they say, you know, how long am I going to, like, well, another story. How long am I going to have to wait? And the devil's going to come up and say, well, it'll be a while. You know, and you'll think, oh, okay. Well, you know, why do I have to wait? And, you know, why do I do it? Oh, it's a mystery hidden in God. You know, God does things in mysterious ways. He'll always have an answer if you're going to listen to the devil. And then, you know, but I need to pay my bills. Well, that's just your cross to bear. And we're not that, we don't want to be that stupid to listen, you know, but that's the kind of influence that he can do. And unfortunately, for a nominal Christian, they could pick up on that and just think, well, that's it. They're going to wait on God now, and they're going to keep going down and down. So claim what you need. Tell the devil to take his hands off your money, take your hands off my finances. Thirdly, he said, go tell the ministering spirits, go ministering spirits, cause the money to come. He's talking about angels. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits? Send forth the minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. This is when he gave Brother Hagin the idea or the example of a wait person in a restaurant. You know, they come there, you decide what you want. I'm thinking of yesterday, we went to a place, and the guy was brain dead, I think. Three times I said what we wanted, and it comes out it wasn't it, but I kept my cool. I didn't let him say that, I didn't let him off. I said, no, you should, but I didn't get on his case too bad. But anyway, so the wait table, they take your order, they turn it in, they come back waiting on you. This is what angels are doing. Psalm 103:20, the reference, bless the Lord ye his angel that excel in strength, that are mighty in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So I could hold this up. I use this example a lot. I could hold this up. What are you hearing? Well, we got to speak the word. So anyway, this is commanding the ministering spirits to go. And I'm convinced this is what put us over. Well, the whole three items here, just it works together and it put us over tremendously. So what did Brother Hagin do? He claimed 150 a week. I mentioned this last week. He went out, he did his budget, and I think he said he didn't have enough in there even for a stick of chewing gum or any frivolities. That's his, $150. Well, why didn't he claim 10,000? You've got to go where you believe. You know, as you go up the line, you can believe for more. But he, at that point, 1950, $150 a week, he claimed that. And he's in this rural church, I think in East Texas, he said. Now, he had been there the year before. So the year before, his record showed that he was there 2 weeks. He got $57 a week. Now he's claiming $150 for a week. He said he couldn't tell the pastor. The pastor would think Jesus himself couldn't get this. And back in those days, apparently, they'd say, oh, who'll give 10? Who'll give 5 to Brother Hagin? They'd pull for long, 30, 45 minutes trying to get this money. And he got $57 a week that time. There are 2 weeks, $114, I guess. So he's saying, okay. So later, the pastor said, they're having a good meeting. Can you stay longer? You can stay till Wednesday. So he said, Brother Hagin said he claimed 200 for that period. He upped it because he's staying a little over a week. So then he said the Lord instructed him, if you do this, you know, claim it. He did it. He claimed it. He bound the devil and he sent the angels out. The Lord said, after you do that, that's the end of the matter. This really helped us in many times because in a late afternoon when there's clouds coming, that's not the time to, what did I say? What do I, no, you, if you have to, you pull out this agreement. And no, this day we signed as we did this, that's the end of the matter. It's working. It's working. We got things, yeah, we got things out now. Every time I think, No, it's working. It's working. So he said he got, I'm skipping over myself here. So he put his faith out for $150. And the pastor said, Brother Hagin, you won't get a quarter if I don't make a pull. He said, say as little as you can about to the pastor. Don't press on this. Just say, this is Brother Hagin's offering. And that's all. So he said, you won't get a quarter. And Brother Hagin said, well, if all I get is a quarter, I'll go down the road thankful and realize I missed it. You know, this is proving things out. This is like we prove things out. We know this works. I wouldn't be teaching it if we hadn't. So at the end of that week, the pastor handed him $240.15. I mean, the pastor was astounded, absolutely amazed. So I got a few minutes here. I did tell you, we claimed on that sale of the property X amount of dollars, and we claimed favor with the settlement process, with the weather. If we wouldn't have done that, I think it would have been pouring. And we bound the devil concerning that whole area and making disruptions, and we sent out ministering spirits to act favorably on our behalf. And I know why the guy dealt with me about auction. With an auction, all he needs two, and man, we had two, and I really, really wanted it. But again, if we wouldn't have had this, in my heart, I know we'd have had to decide: are we going to sell it for two? Yeah. And if let's say we didn't quite get to where we wanted to be by something, Okay, well, let's see you do it here. You're on the spot. Did I mention this already in the previously? You got an auction set up. It's not like you're a realtor, you know. So we had to make a decision, and we did real well. So we've learned this also, I said, from Keith Moore. And I just want to mention a few projects, not to get tied up in numbers, but this is where we learned it. And then More Life Ministries, Keith Moore and the church, they have a church in Sarasota, church in Branson, and they meet every fall for what they call Week of Increase, every winter for Greater Faith Conference. They just came off of that. And we're usually on vacation, pull away and get into that, or else get into it at home online. And he started, well, there's projects over the years, like, you know, the Branson church way back. They bought the Tony Orlando Theater in Branson, then moved to another one. They wanted to get it paid off. They put it out there for the congregation in a short period of time. He used this print, he claimed X amount. He always says, claim a little extra. Bound the devil, sent the angels out. Period of time, this money comes in. Paying off a jet plane, buying. We've been involved with probably 6 jet planes sending out to people, ministering to people. Not that we didn't buy them all, but we're part of it. And our account in heaven, it shows we put Matt Cameron in a jet plane. We put somebody in a jet plane. So this last project, they started in October of 24. And don't get taken back by these numbers. This is this is a man at a ministry that gives substantial amounts of money. So they wanted to do a reserve project. And, you know, in talking about in the giving, well, I got to go there. 2 Corinthians 9. I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to go there. 2 Corinthians 9. Just so you, I'm going to set this up right. Am I boring you? Am I boring that side? So 2 Corinthians 1, or 9, verse 1, for us touching the ministering to the saints, this is what ministering is about. It is superfluous that I write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. Achaia had the money on hand. Now he had to tell the other church, I'm reminding you, this, we're coming to get this money, make sure you got this. There's nothing wrong with having some reserves. You know, I don't buy into the fact that God's always last minute. You want to have some reserves. He said to have a basket and a storehouse. So anyway, this project starting October 2024, $10 million we want to bring in. $10 million silos he showed as a video aid. But the background on this, prior in that year, Jerry Savelle, who we were also partners with, went home to be with the Lord. He passed away. Unexpectedly. Jerry Savelle had believed for Intercontinental Jet for years. He got it. He's had it a while. Now the ministry with him gone, Carol and his wife decided we're gonna sell the jet. It's worth $3 million. So Keith somehow picked up on this, and he talked to Carol and said, this jet plane is worth more as a seed than a sale. We've had that happen to us where we gave something we could have sold. And so she prayed over it and sowed a seed, gave that jet plane to Nancy Dufresne Ministries. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She's in California, tremendous healing ministry, teaching. So here we have, acting on a word, sowing a $3 million seed. So now back to where we're partners with this week of increase. Let's see, over $3 million came in. And guess where the first $3 million went? Savelle Ministries. So, I mean, he was on his heart to put that $3 million back. So now, ongoing here, there's other projects. This was brought up here again in the other week to finish this off. But coming in February, past here, a couple of weeks ago, of that $10 million, $7.3 million already came in. And they had projects in between October 24 and now. Such as, I know he gave $2 million to another ministry. He's a giver. And I'm not bragging on us. You're looking at him. I'm not bragging on us. I'm making a point here. This thing, where we learned it, is working for them. You know, there was a project. We were in Phoenix when we were listening to this program. They were believing for $5 million to put a jet plane in the hands of Mac Hammond because he is sowing churches in Central America and Europe. And that $5 million came in, didn't take long. It may not have been that week, but this is a principle. And so, I can't believe it for $5 million. I know. So maybe what he does is he shows each individual, okay, for example, he just had to refurbish the Branson. That was another project in between. So much a seat. I don't know what it was. $2,000 a seat. They broke it down. They could do all they really needed work. So people see, I can believe for $2,000. I can believe for $200. You took on to where you can believe. And then as a group, these things happen. So my point is not, again, puffing up anybody, but time and time and time again, for 25 years, we've seen this work. And money is not just hoarded up. This reserve thing will be, so, like I said, he just sold $2 million in another ministry, his ministry did the other week. He sowed into the South Pacific. And so I'm making the point, this is not just a, we're going to just have this money and let it sit there. So, again, that is to build, maybe I'm going on about this, but that's to build your confidence. We've seen this, and then we've acted on it. And, I mean, almost $300,000 in our pocket because of this in the last year. So, I would take, I mean, don't even give you these books. We have enough for, like, one for family. I would, if you're interested in this, and I don't know why you wouldn't be, I would look at this, study it, and act on it. And I would encourage you, if you're going to do it like we do, put it in writing. Then you can go back on those cloudy days and see what happens. I mean, see what you've done. So I think I'm going to end it there. But trying to give you tangible things that you can do. I mean, I hate when somebody says, yeah, you need to prosper. Well, how do I do that? Well, next week we'll talk about how you're righteous. You know, I wanted to get into the nuts and bolts. That's something we've done. Has it helped anybody? All right, praise God. Well, I'll turn it back to you, Pastor.